word says, for the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. That's how we fight our battles.
Yeah.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
What we're doing tonight.
This is how I fight my battles.
Just when you think you're lost.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Hey.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 Oh, my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Anytime a heart turns from darkness to light, anytime temptation comes and someone stands to fight, anytime somebody lives to serve and not be served, I know, I know, I know, I know.
God is on the move, on the move.
Father God, good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Father, we come to you this morning in agreement with you, in agreement with your Holy Spirit. Sold out, living sacrifices, we submit, we surrender to your Holy Spirit. God, open our eyes, open our ears, that we would see and understand your will, and see you, Lord Jesus, as our salvation. See you, Lord, as our healing. See you as our deliverer, our hope, our comfort, our guiding light. Lord, counsel us in your truth, in your wisdom, so that we would be understanding. Fill us with your love and that life, Lord Jesus, that we would be a vessel of honor, a testimony to the world, and useful to you, Lord God, to spread the good news gospel that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for your goodness. You are so good to us, continually, faithfully, consistently, Lord, always righteous. Always in us, blessing us. Father, I just thank you for your thank you for you. I thank you for you, God. Good morning, Ted Line. Praise God. Praise God. This scripture in Leviticus 14:17. Is not the pilot verse for this message this morning, but I want to read it first from the King James Version. I'm sorry, not Leviticus 14. I'm going to give you Zechariah 4, verse 6. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I want to title this morning's message, Vessels of Transformation and Miracles. Vessels of Transformation and Miracles. From the King James, I bring you to John 2, verses 1 through 11. From the King James, John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now I want to read the same from the Message version, starting at 1. 3 days later, there was a wedding in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples were guests also. When they started running low on wine at the wedding banquet, Jesus' mother told him, they're just about out of wine. Jesus said, is that any of our business, mother? Yours or mine? This isn't my time. Don't push me. She went ahead anyway, telling the servants, whatever he tells you, do it. 6 stoneware water pots were there, used by the Jews for ritual washing. Each held 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus ordered the servants, fill the pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. Now, fill your pitchers and take them to the host, Jesus said, and they did. When the host tasted the water that had become wine, he didn't know what had just happened, but the servants, of course, knew. He called out to the bridegroom, everybody I know begins with their finest wines, and after the guests have had their fill, brings in the cheap stuff. But you've saved the best till now. This act in Cana of Galilee was the first sign Jesus gave, the first glimpse of his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Now you'll notice that Jesus' mother initiated Jesus to act in this banquet, in this feast, this time of celebration. Nevertheless, Jesus commands the servants to take ritual cleansing pots, clay vessels. These are ceremonial cleansing water pots that were empty. And Jesus told them, fill them with water. And they obeyed. They did. These 20 to 30 gallon containers they were found in most every household of the time. Maybe not 20 to 30 gallon size, maybe some smaller ones, but this was common in houses. And this house being held as a place for a banquet was more than likely a larger house. So they had larger vessels. I want to bring you to Isaiah 25 from the Message. I want to read Isaiah 25 from the Message. God, you are my God. I celebrate you. I praise you. You've done your share of miracle wonders. Well thought out plans, solid and sure. Here you've reduced the city to rubble, the strong city to a pile of stones. The enemy big city is a non-city, never to be a city again. Superpowers will see it and honor you. Brutal oppressors bow in worshipful reverence. They'll see that you take care of the poor, that you take care of poor people in trouble, provide a warm, dry place in bad weather, provide a cool place when it's hot. Brutal oppressors are like a winter blizzard, a vicious foreigners like high noon in the desert. But you shelter from the storm and shade from the sun. Shut the mouths of the big mouth bullies. But here on this mountain, God of the angel armies will throw a feast for all the people of the world, a feast of the finest foods, a feast with vintage wines, a feast of seven courses, a feast lavish with gourmet desserts. And here on this mountain, God will banish the pall of doom hanging over all peoples, the shadow of doom darkening all nations. Yes, he'll banish death forever. And God will wipe the tears from every face. He'll remove every sign of disgrace from his people, wherever they are. Yes, God says so. Also, at that time, people will say, look at what's happened. This is our God. We waited for him and he showed up and saved us. This God, the one we waited for, let's celebrate. Sing the joys of his salvation. God's hand rests on this mountain. As for the Moabites, they'll be treated like refuse, waste shoveled into a cesspool. Thrash away as they will, like swimmers trying to stay afloat. They'll sink in the sewage. Their pride will pull them under. Their famous fortifications will crumble to nothing. Those mighty walls reduced to dust. Like I was saying, you notice that many things were going on in this written account of the marriage feast. It's called a wedding banquet, a marriage feast, a time of celebration, and the host is running out of wine. And Mary calls on Jesus to intervene. See, what is usually used as water for washing your hands and your feet, it was a tradition among households. But Jesus was now making those vessels to be used to serve a much higher purpose, and purpose of honor. Upon pouring and serving the water into cups, and that was which was received was then found to be the best tasting wine. And this is called Jesus' first miracle, the first sign. And his glory went forth, the Bible says, and his disciples believed. Jesus not only transformed what was inside the vessels, but I want you to notice that Jesus changed the purpose of those pots from ritualistic cleansing to containing a drink of celebration. In regards to the miracle, there is so much more to it. There are words of life. There are miracle words that point to the power of Jesus and the goodness of God in giving and in providing. But we must not miss that the miracle is a miracle of deliverance. A celebratory miracle of deliverance. And at first, one doesn't make any connection with baptism. But we're going to go over baptism in a second for this reason. See, they were water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, according to the King James. And the message, it words it like this: six stoneware water pots that were used by the Jews for ritual washing. You'll notice that by the time of Jesus, when John the Baptist was seen baptizing people in the River Jordan, ritual washing of the Jews had become a long-held tradition practiced there to the Jews for purification. But yet they were doing this ritual to a fault. The laws that were given to Moses after the deliverance from Egypt was meant for life. It was meant for salvation. But the laws became elevated and were twisted. Under the Babylonian rule, and these laws, these statutes, were added to. It became the Babylonian Talmud. And what was given by God to be a light and a lamp to their feet became more important to them than the God who delivered them. And they added, and they wrote in new things, and the men's traditions were added in there, and it became so wordy and lengthy and heavy and hard to bear that it became a burden. It became a stumbling block. It became their God, because they idolized the practice of cleansing. The rituals of washing. And they honored them more than they honored God. The ritual cleansing of the hands and feet in Judaism, as I understood and researched, it was generally used for blessings at meals, before worship, before priestly blessings, after sleeping, on many other occasions. They would wash their hands and their feet. But there were also full body immersion washing, and this they did at times of conversion to Judaism, and at times to clean from bodily fluids and skin conditions. Nitalat Yadayim is a traditional washing of the hands with a cup, and this practice is commonly observed in Orthodox Judaism. Nitalat Yadayim is usually done upon rising in the morning before eating challah. Natalat Yadayim is a ceremonial cleansing. And it says your hands should already be clean before doing this ritual. It's so lengthy, it's so deep and rooted, that one begins to wonder, what's the purpose? What is really the focus at the center of all this cleansing? In Leviticus 14, this is where it comes from. This is where it comes from, Leviticus 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper. In the day of his cleansing he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, If the plague of leprosy is healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean in cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel overrunning water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his hands, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that, he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of its tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave off all the hair of his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows, and even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. Also shall he shall wash his flesh in the water, and he shall be clean. And the rest of the chapter tells about cleansing from, purifying from leprosy, and how to tell if a house is defiled, and how to cleanse a house, and how to look for and make sure that the cleansing is done right. And what this tells us is that God had already told Moses his plan for healing of leprosy and for cleansing. And this is where baptism starts. But what's important to see is that God already set in place instructions for Jews to be not only clean, but even healed from things like leprosy. And Moses received God's instruction on hygiene and healing. Why this happens is because of God's love, God's mercy. It's the same reason why God instructed Moses to create a bronze cast of a serpent and mount it on a pole and to be placed in the center of the Israeli camp in the wilderness. Even though the children of Israel had sinned and brought on a judgment by God to send serpents into the camp to bite and to kill, God's mercy still commanded Moses and instructed him on what to do. God cares about his people, and he's always, always providing ways of deliverance. Even though the damage was done, it was a result of their sins, God still shows that he cares, still loves his children. And Moses, the intercessor, God's man of deliverance for his people, was given instructions by God to raise up this serpent. And this is found in Numbers chapter 21. But we soon see later in Scripture that the people began to worship the bronze serpent. And later in 2 Kings 18 and 4, King Hezekiah takes down the brazen serpent. People of Israel were by then worshiping, bowing down to, burning incense to it. Instead of acknowledging the God who gave them that merciful provision, they were honoring and revering an idol, a brazen image that neither has life in it, cannot speak, it saved them, it could not heal them. But they were bowing down to it instead of their God. Well, thank God for King Hezekiah who took it down. But why do people do this? So they cast their eyes upon something that God gave us as a provision for healing, provision for salvation and deliverance. Why do we end up doing this as a people? Then God comes, and again is mercy. Intervenes, provides. Now, in the same way that they failed to cleave to their God, in the same way that they failed to keep their focus on the one who sent the deliverance. So too in the time of Jesus were the people focusing on the method or the thing God sent for deliverance, and they were worshiping it and revering it blindly. See, God gave Moses statutes and laws, the covenant. God gave Moses the word, but it was meant to be a light. It was meant to be a lamp to guide them and direct them, to show them. Show them what? Show them the way to God. Show them the ways of God. Show them righteousness, righteous living, close fellowship with God for their own health, for their own salvation. And Jesus points out the error of this godless rebellion that had fallen upon the people of his time. And Jesus points out to them these laws, these traditions. You think they save you. You think they justify your wickedness, but they do not. In Matthew 23, we see, Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. What's Moses' seat? Who was Moses? Moses was the man God sent for deliverance, to intercede, to lead the people. In verse 3, all therefore whatsoever they bid you, observe. That, observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms of at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But look here, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore, ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is it was greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth therein. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone, ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous bloodshed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he in the name of the Lord. Mark 7:1-13. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And then they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands. They found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He, Jesus, answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. So Jesus, he's rebuking the hypocrites, the scribes and the Pharisees, because they lift up and worship their own traditions in the place of God's word, as if their traditions of cleansing and washing could save them, could clean them. but they cleansed only the outside and they forgot all the deadness on the inside. And that inside is where God looks. The inside, the spiritual, is what God cares about. 1 Samuel 16 and 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Psalms 33, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. See, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Now I bring you to another feast. This time it's a feast of Passover in John 13, 1 through 17. John 13, 1 through 17. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answering him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me.
Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed, save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so am I, so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Those that know these things and do them are happy. Looking to Jesus as the one who delivers, he who saves, he who cleanses. See, all the miracles in the Bible of healing and cleansing were by God. All these life-giving miracles, these acts of mercy were by God, our source, our provider, our deliverer. All the washing and the dunking in the River Jordan to be cleansed of leprosy by the Syrian king, looking to a cast bronze image of a serpent to be healed from snake bites, even the rod of Aaron that was lifted and waved in the air to part the Red Sea. All of these things, they're items, they're things, they don't save obedience to God, who is our Savior, is what really is being shared. See, these acts of mercy, this life-giving mercy is from God. His salvation, his word of God was sent to us. And his name is Jesus, our deliverer. See, Jesus commanded his followers in Matthew 10:1-8. In Matthew 10:1-8, he commanded them. He was their master, their rabbi, their teacher. They were listening and obeying and learning from him, being edified. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who was also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Now what Jesus commanded them to go out and do was not perform rituals or traditions or repeat the Talmud, or to repeat processes and regulations and statutes and proclaim ritual cleansing. What Jesus commanded them to go out to speak about and share was the gospel, that the good news of the kingdom of heaven was at hand. The good news is that Jesus is our salvation. 1 John 1:9, he's the one that cleanses us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and 7, two verses up. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And what cleanses us? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. In these things I will, that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Holiness isn't perfected in fearing statutes and laws and limitations and restrictions and hard to bear rules or rituals. Holiness is perfected in the fear of God, our Savior. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? See, it's God that transforms. It's the regeneration that happens in the Spirit by God himself through the saving blood of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:20 through 26. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. In some to honor, in some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at will. Ephesians 5:8 through 33. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the times, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands and unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so that the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of this body, of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Please see how important this is to God, how important his body is to him, how important his bride is to him. The transformation of the spirit of regeneration is of God. His own Holy Spirit being poured out upon our flesh cleanses. It is his own Holy Spirit that cleanses. He, like I said, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This is not salvation by a written process. This is not cleansing through rituals. This is the Holy Spirit in you, the kingdom of heaven that is within you, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the regeneration that comes from God, changing and transforming water to wine wasn't the whole thing. It was changing a vessel from dishonor into a vessel of honor, a vessel of purpose for the king's use, pouring out of his Spirit through each of us who are consecrated, cleansed, not by the washing of our hands or soap and water, but really cleansed in the Spirit by Jesus Christ, consecrated and set apart for God's use. The first miracle, the first sign of Jesus is transforming and regenerating common, the ritualistic, and making it something of real importance, serious spiritual change by Jesus Christ. Father, you are good. You love your church. You love your body. You care for us, and you pour out your mercies. You pour out your goodness upon us, continually providing salvation through Jesus Christ. Help us to know your ways and to Be in love, be in life, be in your word, and be consecrated inside and out by your spirit so that we can be used of you, God, so that we can be of use to the King. Lord, cleanse us. Regenerate our minds and our spirits that faith would be abundant in us and that love would pour from us and mercies, bowels of mercies would just be poured out of us, Lord, and that your word, your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven in us would be shown and be spread abroad, Lord God, for more of your goodness to be shared and that your name would be glorified and magnified in this earth, not death and restriction and chains or bondage, but life and liberty, freedom, deliverance, hope, healing, and life more abundantly. In the name of Jesus, have your way today, God. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Thank you for being with me this morning. We'll see you tomorrow morning on the TED Line. God say the same.
You can't see me, Master, waiting to help when I'm in need. So loving, you reign over every living thing, and yet you still make time for me.
The King of my heart, be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, it's you are, you're good.
You're never gonna let me down.